Welcome to The Odds Couple, a presentation of ESPN Chicago. The Odds Couple is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas. The Odds Couple. Here's your hosts, Mike North and Carmen DeFalco.
Welcome to your weekend. Time for another episode of The Odds Couple presented by Circa Resort and Casino. It's Mike North and Carmen DeFalco with you each and every week here on the ESPN Chicago app and AM 1000 and FM 100.3 HD2. We're off and running for another loaded weekend as we get closer and closer to the start of March Madness. A lot of people love this weekend, too, with some of the smaller conference tournaments getting underway. The big boys next week. We're just a little over a week away from Selection Sunday. We're getting down to it in the NBA season. Fun times, Mikey. Plus, free agency frenzy is coming up next week in the NFL. So we have a lot to unpack going into this weekend, my friend.
Oh, it's great to talk to everybody. Great to talk to you, Carm. Eric Ostrowski, our esteemed executive producer here on AM 1000. Let me tell everybody this. It's been a great week for me. Forget about whether you win bets or lose bets. Some things happened this past week that I'm very proud of that. I keep playing, like my old boss told me, keep playing the hits. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. And I said, okay, what do you mean? He says, just keep playing the hits. And the hits keep coming up with the Odds Couple. If we actually had somebody that kept track of our predictions. I mean, I was on this podcast, this great podcast, which, by the way, you can catch right afterwards, folks, about an hour after we put it up here on AM 1000, the app. I said to Carmen, I was the first one in this country. Now ESPN Bets is putting it up. What are the odds? But what about Kirk Cousins, Carm? And I remember Carm saying, we haven't even discussed it. Nobody has. And then I said later on, what about Russell Wilson? And now I'm happy to say that there's six teams, supposedly, after Russell Wilson. There's nothing out of the mind of Kirk Cousins right now, Carm.
Nothing.
But this is what I want, folks. I want a veteran. Then I want us to take MJH. And I want us to work on the line and then take a quarterback down the line. If that does not transpire, then I want us to keep Fields, bring in a veteran backup, or keep Bagent, but take MJH and take a quarterback down the line, too. I don't want Caleb Williams, period, end of story. And I don't know if a lot of the other guys have cooled on him yet, Carm. I keep hearing reporters and journalists who can't lose their jobs. If they make the wrong pick.
That's true.
So, you know what I mean? So, I'm hoping we can get a veteran quarterback so we can contend for the playoffs. If we don't, maybe we can with Fields. It's a maybe. And if we don't get Fields or a veteran, I don't know what your opinion is. If we go with Caleb Williams, we don't make the playoffs next year.
I think it'd be a disappointment if they took a step back with Caleb Williams.
I agree. Thank you, Carm.
I think it'd be a step back.
There's no doubt. I mean, Russell, look. If they could give us a distinct type of advantage that he has over Fields, I don't think he can because he hasn't played it down in the NFL. But you can give Fields a distinct advantage over his stats last year, especially to DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and his running stats. Now, the thing we got to do is there should have been 15 more catches by DJ Moore when he turned around and he was waiting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they got to take that next step up. Do you agree with me, though? I'm happy that I said Cousins or Wilson. I don't think the Bears are going to do that. I'm fearing.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And that, which really sucks because it could be like a Goff Mayfield type of thing, a Stafford. You bring in a veteran to a different team, and he lights a fire under the fan base and everything else. Other than that, you know what? That's my point. I don't want Caleb Williams. Do whatever else they got to do. What do you think?
I don't think, let's start with Cousins. It's
too expensive.
Yes. It would eat up, one of the best things the Bears have going for them is their available cap space.
And
it would destroy.
Congrats to Jalen Johnson.
Congrats to Jalen Johnson, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I think it's a good deal for both sides.
Too.
He gets to hit free agency again at 28, 29. That's fantastic.
That's fine because you know what? These guys last 3-4 years. And even Revis Island, all these other guys.
That's true.
Sherman, they have a small window. Yeah. I think it's a great deal for both of them.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yep.
So I think the Cousins thing just eats too much into their cap.
If they sign him, we'll make the playoffs. I'm predicting that.
That I would agree with.
See?
They would
that's
be a playoff
point,
team.
That's my point, though, Carm. I know, it just sucks, doesn't it? I mean, if we could get a vet, I think we got the team.
I'm not as big on Russell Wilson at this point, even though he won't cost you much money because all the money's being paid out.
$1 million. Yeah. He still had a decent year, and they only – you see, folks, I want everybody to remember – the first 6 weeks, Denver gave up 70 points in the game. I don't know how that's Russell Wilson's fault. He put up 28 or 30. That should have been enough to win. But I'd love to see that. As far as everything else goes, I think it's, you know what? This is big for Poles. And it's a tough decision for Poles. There's like a three-way type of deal here. Do you keep Fields? Do you go after a rookie? Do you sign a veteran? You know.
Yeah, it is a big decision. You're right. It's another one of those pivot points, it feels like.
Not taking Caleb Williams, and I hear other people have gone cool. Just like I heard at the Combine, the Fields talk became cool. I put that out on Twitter at North to North. It really became cool. I mean, the Bears were asking, I think, too high.
Maybe.
And when you're asking too high, you know what? Carmen DeFalco's one of the greats. You want him on at your radio station. Right, Mike, what are you doing? Well, I want to get rid of him. So, you know, I mean, you see what I mean? You're trying to get a number one or two or three, which was nonsense, or four. And when you should be saying, you know what, we want to keep Fields unless something bowls us over.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do that.
Yeah, they kind of played it the other way.
Played it the other way. And you know what? This is a happy day for me because I listened to the tape twice last week. I heard two of my great friends, Carmen and Eldo, on the same day, who are both... They were both anti-Trubisky guys, and Eldo Gandia from Barroom says, you know what, now I know what you're talking about. I go, what are you talking about? Because I'm a huge Fields guy, and they're treating him just like they treated Mitch, hanging him out to dry. And then I heard Carmen. I played it three times, and I popped champagne. He said basically last week, I didn't want Fields. And all I asked him was, did they replace Mitch? And he said no. He was honest. They haven't replaced they haven't even replaced Cutler.
No.
And so that's the issue we're talking about here. And can you go the way of a rookie again?
I mean...
Mad Carb, if they win five games next
it
year...
It would be bad. I agree. That would be bad. That would be very bad.
And this guy, from all reports, he's in love with himself like nobody else.
Well, I don't know. I mean...
And that could be jaded. That could jade you when you think it's me, 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 I.
There hasn't been one former teammate of his that has... publicly, anyway, criticized him. Not one.
Name me anybody in radio that publicly criticizes another radio host publicly. Name anybody in baseball that comes really out and sticks their neck out to criticize anybody. Yet, you hear reports from the decision makers that there is some infatuation about that. I would ask his teammates, did you miss him when his replacement broke the individual single-game record in the bowl game? That's what I would ask. Because the once-in-a-generation quarterback got replaced in one game and broke a single-game record at USC. That's pretty revealing to me.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of these bowl games anymore. If you're not in the playoff, does anybody care about a bowl game? Like,
well, if you never play... and you throw five touchdowns in the game, and you beat the once-in-a-decade quarterback, or like Colin Coward said, the best ever, I think that's news if your replacement throws five touchdowns. I don't care who they're playing against. And USC had guys sitting up.
I don't know how much stock to put in these bowl games anymore. You know, I mean, like,
any stock in it. You would, if I said, well, his replacement threw three interceptions, you'd say, yeah, he's not worth it. If I tell you a guy's thrown five touchdowns in the game,
I know.
You cannot tell me that's not impressive in an NCAA.
No, it is. I just don't know how much it relates back to Caleb.
You're trying to edge it towards Caleb Williams, making him look better. When quite frankly, he lost five games last year, Carm. How do you lose five games and not even at the Heisman ceremony if you're the generational quarterback? I want to know that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. How do you do what he did as a sophomore then?
But
though?
That doesn't matter.
Why?
You know what I mean?
If last year matters, how does the year before not matter?
My car ran better 2 years ago than it does now, Carm. All I'm saying is he had a down year compared to the year he had the year before. Now, was it the team?
That's true.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I think his team wasn't as good. Yeah, I mean,
That had to be it. It couldn't have been him this year.
No, I watched
the Notre Dame game. I put that on him 100%.
Yeah, he was bad in the Notre Dame game. I mean, he absolutely was.
We can dress him up all we want. Everybody sat down in Chicago that night, and he crapped the bed.
Yeah, that's that was a bad game for him. I mean, then do you like Drake May more? Do you like Jaden Daniels more?
No. You know what? I'm afraid of all of them. I think Justin Field or a veteran. I do. If somebody's going to tell me that Caleb Williams with no offensive line next year, I don't care what they picked up from Buffalo, if he can get out of the jams that Justin Field did, especially that one in the end zone last year, he'd still be laying on his back. I mean, he buys time. The problem is, and you're right about this, and I'm not, Caleb Williams has a quicker trigger. And that's and he can make progressions maybe quicker, but he's got plenty of time to do it. I want to ask you this. Can the Bears, who failed with an Ohio State quarterback, succeed with a USC quarterback? Notoriously, the two worst quarterbacks, quarterback schools at developing quarterbacks for the pros in history. Can they do the impossible and actually go to both schools and grab a quarterback and really get it done? They failed once. Now, the kid Stroud did it okay over at the other
place.
Yes,
he did.
He's the first. Well, my argument stood for 53 years. Now, my Caleb Williams argument is, my argument with Caleb Williams goes back to 1965. Pat Hayden, 66. Yeah. Can a USC quarterback finally hit the big time? And Carson Palmer was their one until Burrow showed up in Cincinnati.
Yeah, Carson Palmer is the only guy
you
that
like
really
the trend,
stands out.
You're a trend guy. I didn't like the trend with Fields, and I don't like the trend with Williams from USC, who has their defense. You want to know something? The only league that plays less defense than the Pac-12 is the NBA.
I got some thoughts on the NBA.
Oh,
for you later,
my God,
speaking of
I watched
defense.
It last night.
I know,
man.
I know. I mean, last night you had, there were 2 30-point triple-doubles last night.
Last night I took Dallas. I was MFing Doncic at halftime. He plays no defense.
No, none. He plays none.
None. Until the late third and fourth, then he goes after everything. And the next thing you know, he's out of his mind. He was hitting 35-footers last night with a hand in his face. And I won both bets. The under, which was 229. And Dallas, which was -4.5, I got to admit, he put on a show for me offensively, but defensively, I find it hard to believe he'll ever win a championship.
Let's talk about that later, because I have a bunch of NBA stuff, actually.
Are we having fun already?
Yes, I'm glad you actually dropped that in, because that'll be a good segue for later. Luke Pergandy will join us, talk about some hot tickets at Prop Swap coming up next. We'll hit the NBA, some baseball. We got ponies with Jim Miller later. We'll give you best plays before we're out of here. So a bunch to do. We're just getting warmed up, everybody. Don't go anywhere. It's Mike and Carmen. We're coming right back. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. It's Mike and Carmen with you each and every week. You can always catch up on demand with the ESPN Chicago app. We'll be on Saturday afternoon, a little bit later in the day after White Sox spring training baseball, so you can listen on AM 1000 and FM 100.3 HD2. Let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. He's a weekly contributor with us, one of the founding members of PropSwap.com and the PropSwap app. It's free. It's easy to use. Make sure you have that on your smartphone. He joins us every week. It's Luke Pergandy.
Okay, Carl.
Hi, Carl. Hi, Mike.
Peppers and
sausage. Hey, buddy. Luke, how are you?
What's up, Luke?
We're getting ready for a very fun time of year as we get ready to roll into March Madness. Your Arizona Wildcats, a win last night. They're looking like, I mean, they're probably in play for that fourth number one seed. It kind of feels like Purdue and Houston are locks.
Kentucky.
I don't know, like, who's up for that fourth one?
UConn.
So UConn, Purdue, and Houston seem like locks. And then would Kentucky, Tennessee, your Arizona Kentucky Wildcats be in play for that other one seed?
Yeah, I think if they win the Pac-12 tournament, they'll get the one. Just the committee typically likes to have some team out west be relevant, and Arizona has fit that bill so far. I have some concerns. I mean, it's a very talented roster. I mean, they were down to like 8-1. I think that's too low. If you can find them at a 14-1 or 15-1, that's interesting. I mean, the roster is great. They don't always play like it, but it's a talented spot.
Yeah, I like that. Like when you could, if you could stretch it out to double digits, Houston might not. Arizona might not be a bad ticket to look for. Any others that you can think of off the top of your head? Like maybe a Tennessee. I don't know that Kansas has quite enough this season. Maybe North Carolina if it all comes together. Like, is there anybody in those double digit toward out towards maybe 20-1 that might be worth firing on right now as we roll into the tournament in just a couple of weeks?
Yeah, so if you can get Tennessee above 10, they're interesting. That Connect kid is playing out of his mind. That's like a Northern Colorado transfer, and he's just playing like an All-American in Tennessee now. So they're interesting. I think Marquette at 25-1 is an intriguing team. And then you can still find Kansas at 30-1. Honestly, anyone in the Big 12, like pick your big favorite Big 12 team. I think that conference is the best in college basketball this year. And then, like, way farther down the draft board, small bet on Michigan State. I think anytime Tom Izzo's coaching a team, they're relevant. And then St. John's, they are 240-1 on PropSwap right now. They are first in the Big East in rebounding and second in points per game. It's obviously Rick Pitino's team. So taking a stab at them, I think, is intriguing. Last point in college basketball, we were doing some homework for our podcast, and if you look at the conference tournaments last year and how those teams did, if you look at the Elite Eight, four of the teams in the Elite Eight won their conference tournament, three lost in the semis, and only one team in the Elite Eight didn't win at least two games in their conference tournament. That was Kansas State. So it's relevant, and obviously that starts this weekend and next. So keep an eye on the conference tournaments is my point.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what's going on with the conference tournaments. I know the SEC is strong this year, too, it seems like. But Kentucky, to me, is the intrigue. I know every year, and believe me, folks, Kansas, Kentucky, your chalk teams, they usually don't come through at the end. I mean, they'll win. I mean, when Adolph Rupp was there, of course. But it's all changed. But I want to ask you about teams like that win somebody smaller. I think there's so much parity now. For instance, there's a team that I just watched off the top of my head. I don't know anything about them, except I watched them a few weeks back, and now I've watched them a couple more times. I don't even know if they got a shot. But I watched this team, Colgate. They play pattern basketball. They shoot from the outside, and they make their free throws. Those are the type of teams that you buy, if those type of teams, even though an Ivy League team, Luke, that you would buy on PropSwap, hoping to get maybe lucky once or twice, especially last year with all the high odd teams that made it toward the end.
Yeah, I agree. I'm at 600-1 right now. I don't even see Colgate at 600-1, but regardless, if they get in the tournament, take a stab at them if you like them. Teams like that, if they have good guard play and you can make free throws, I mean, that to me is the recipe, and that's why I'm still a little bit concerned with Purdue. Their guards have started to improve. That Lawyer kid is getting better. But I still have concerns about Purdue if you can hack Zach Giddey, who's incredible. He's just not the best free throw shooter. And if the guards start to go off, he's not a very good runner. But I agree with you, Mike. If you have good free throw shooting and good guard play, you can win this thing.
You know what I want to ask you guys?
Be dangerous.
I want to ask you this. I watched UConn, and that's, I mean, UConn's the best team in the game right now, I think, with the best coach. He's got their attention. They pay attention to him, and they come out hustling. The other night they went for the jugular right from the beginning. The thing I like about Hurley's teams, because you don't see this even with Purdue when they have a big man, it seems like every time they come down, Luke, offensively and Carm, they feed the ball to the big man first. He touches it almost every time down, and you don't see that even with teams that have big players like that. And I think that's how they're going to win, because the big guy's good, and he just kicks it out, and he knows where to pass the ball, and they're always moving.
Yeah, Donovan Klingon is UConn's big guy. Yeah, look, they're a wagon. To me, it's UConn and Houston, and then a big gap between the rest of the teams we talked about, the Purdue, Tennessees, and Arizona. That's kind of that second tier. But to me, if it's UConn or Houston's tournament to lose, and this kid Jamal Shedd on Houston is the real deal.
He's good.
Kevin Sampson is an incredible coach. They're very good at defense. Their guards are awesome. So,
and they're experienced, Luke. They're like kind of what you were hitting on. I mean, they've got like the depth and the experience. Maybe not the depth to a certain degree, but they've got the experience in that backcourt for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. If those two teams can get knocked out early, this becomes a really, really upset-laden tournament. But I think both of those two teams will at least be in the Elite Eight.
Okay. Month away from the Masters. We've seen a lot of action already on the website, people wanting certain tickets. There's a bunch of live guys that will be in that field. So what's Masters action already looking like as we're about a month out now?
Yeah, we're selling some Masters stuff. I mean, how exciting is that both Liv and it's funny that we're even saying this, but the fact that the Tour and Liv will be back together, because obviously not happening on a week-to-week
basis.
We'll
be good for Liv, so people can find these people again and find out who they are.
Yeah, right.
I mean, seriously, it's crazy.
No, I get it. So, yeah, we're starting to sell a few Masters tickets. Arnold Palmer this weekend.
Yes.
There'll be some action on that. Yeah, I think people will be just be excited to see all these superstars back on the same golf course.
Yeah, Lowry last week, I mean, on Sunday, I thought, here, he's got the odds here, he's got the experience, and he just went dud. And now in the Palmer yesterday, he ends up leading the pack. Who would have thought that after the collapse he had on Sunday?
This is a big tournament, though. The Arnold Palmer, it's a great field. So, yeah, this and Luke always talks about it, especially these big, impressive fields like this. There'll be a lot of stuff happening. So check the app, check the website, propswap.com, because you can find a lot of good stuff. Lowry's 6-under atop that leaderboard. It's a good leaderboard already, but this is a good tournament. This attracts a lot of the big players, so it'll be a good one.
Yeah, that Figala kid is an incredible story.
Yes.
Like 2024 or something out of California. I believe he's originally from India. He's killing it. He's a super cool story. To have an odds board with Scheffler, Spieth, Hideki, and Figala. That's incredible.
It's really good. I mean, Zalatoris is in the mix at this one. Rory's there. Rory, I think, was even par yesterday, but Rory didn't play well last year on opening, and I think he finished second, if I'm not mistaken.
The Golf Channel's got to get the memo that they got to quit holding on to Rory and Spieth's belt loops and start promoting some of these other guys, too.
I mean,
they just hang on to these two guys like they're like winning every tournament. And, you know, I know they talk Scheffler, but they got to spread it out a little bit and promote. So, I mean, this Knapp kid, they hardly talked about him after he won a tournament. And then next week he comes right back. So, I mean, they got to start waking up over there and find out that it's not just you know what? Ernie Els is gone. Okay, all these guys are gone. You got some new guys. You better start promoting them because Liv's coming.
Luke, have a great weekend, buddy. We'll catch up next Friday.
Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
Bye, buddy. Bye. We'll see you. There he is, Luke Pergandy. PropSwap.com. All right, when we come back, we'll spread around a little bit to some other NBA stuff. The Bulls on a little bit of a roll as they're out west, and that road trip continues with a Saturday afternoon tilt against what has been a very impressive Clippers team the last couple of months. So we'll talk about that game. Celtics Nuggets from last night. I got a question about the Celtics from Mike. We'll discuss that when we come back next. Don't go anywhere. It's Carmen and Mike. We're just getting into things here. We got a long way to go. We are the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple. Mike North, Carmen DeFalco is always with you here on the app. You'll get the encore replay Saturday afternoon on AM 1000 and FM 100.3 HD2 after White Sox baseball from spring training out in Arizona.
Bonus play coming up today, baby.
Bonus play as always.
I had Sacramento last week.
That's
folks,
right.
They're listening. We beat Atlanta. Of course, Carmen and Yurko and me. Boom.
That's
at
right.
147. We went 2-2 last week, so we're rolling. I went 1-1 with the golf. I'll have two more golf matchups
tonight. I love all the golf that Mike gives out. Yeah, don't ever miss the bonus play every Friday about 145, 147 with Yurk and me. Follow Mike on Twitter. He is at North to North. That's the number two. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Celtics last night fall in Denver. They get swept in the season series by the Nuggets. Nuggets win 115-109. I don't know how much it means, if anything at all. I don't know if statement games really matter all that much in the regular season, but sometimes you kind of feel like they do with the Celtics team. They're still the favorite at about 2.5 to 1, but it was a weird week for them. For the first time in like 25 years, they blew a lead of 20-plus points in the fourth quarter. They followed up with kind of a, even though it was a 6-point game, it kind of felt like a dud in a way, if not for Jaylen Brown's heroics. I'm not sure they're really in that game last night. So I don't know, does it say anything about the Celtics that they had the kind of week that they did and they continue to struggle against the Nuggets, Mike?
Yeah, it says that maybe in the East they're a top team, or maybe in the East they're a top three team. I watched Miami play Dallas. They played up with Dallas yesterday pretty damn good. There's some teams that can beat Boston. Boston, what has become popular in my jargon over the years, like Aaron Rodgers, guys like that, regular season heroes, look so damn good. And then they get into the playoffs. And there's no doubt. I love Jaylen Brown. I love Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
But they're basically two of the same type of players. You're splitting time. You know what I mean? They're both outside gunners. Tatum's a great player. Brown's a great player. But then what about the rest of the team? And that's what I think you got to look at. Do they have the inside presence? I don't think so. They won't win a title if they play Denver. Denver will beat them because of the guy in the middle.
He's
amazing. The best player in the game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If you put Jokic on the Celtics tomorrow, they're winning the NBA title. If you put Jokic on the Bulls, they're getting into the playoffs.
Yes.
If you put Jokic anywhere, there's no disrespect anymore. I think people, they want to see somebody different win the MVP. Look, they're all putting up numbers, and I heard a guy say yesterday, which tells you all you need to know about the defense, and Steve Kerr's even said this, but I heard a guy say on TV, I don't know who it was, I was watching NBA TV, I was watching one of the games, and one of the analysts says, somebody hit 20 in the first, almost at the end of the first half. He goes, 20's the new 10.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 used to be nothing. I mean, if you hit 10 points, you were considered okay in the NBA. When you were a 20-point scorer like Bernard King was and guys like mm-hmm. that, you were a god. Now, you see, so who can step up defensively? I still love Golden State. I love Steph Curry. I believe, no matter what LeBron does, he's been the pertinent player in the last decade in the NBA. He's the best shooter who ever lived.
Yep.
The best who ever lived,
agreed.
Folks. I've seen them all,
yep.
And he's won 3 titles with the same team, and they're doing it again this year. They're coming on late.
He hurt his ankle in the loss to the Bulls last night. You hope that's not too serious.
Yeah.
I would never count them out because of that, championship medal.
But he's always had trouble with his ankle.
The ankles have been a problem. You're right.
Always.
Boston, it's kind of interesting. And like the season's still ongoing, so we'll see
where
this ends.
Did I describe them right, though,
yes.
in your eyes?
And I was going to give you this stat because I kind of agree with you.
I love when you give me stats.
So this can change because the season's still ongoing. But Boston right now, in terms of margin of victory, they're a plus 10.9. That is, as of today, the 6th best in NBA history. 4 of the 5 teams that were better, the 17 Warriors, the 96 Bulls, the 71 Bucks, and the 72 Lakers, all won the NBA title. The only team that didn't were the 72 Bucks, who lost to the aforementioned 72 Lakers in the Western Conference
with
Finals.
With Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, and that crew.
I bring it up because the historical context is impressive, and it would bode well, seemingly, for the Boston Celtics.
Ask you this.
They're still the betting favorite, but I kind of like the way you laid it out. I'm still not sure I think Boston will win the title
this year. And I would ask you this, Carm. You just told me they got swept by Denver. I just wonder what their record is against above 500.
I can find it.
If you could find that, that might give us more of a tale. Because I think they're the classic bullies. I think they'll play teams like Atlanta. I think they play teams like the Bulls. And by the way, folks, the Bulls are a better team without Zach LaVine.
Oh, my God.
They're farther along without him. They're one game away from 500. They got a shot. And you know what? The worst thing that anybody could say in this country right now, okay, as far as sports goes, is I'm Zach LaVine, I'm coming back. No, don't come back, because they should have kept it. I don't know how hurt he is. I know he's having surgery. But even if he was feeling okay, you can't bring him back, Carm. You can't. They're a better team without him, and so is Kobe White and all these guys.
So with Zach in the lineup, the Bulls are 10-15, that's a 400 winning percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Without him, after last night, they're 21-17, that's a 553 winning percentage.
Unbelievable. Hey, you could just watch the crispness of the team.
Yeah.
When they're, Christmas. It is Christmas when he's not on the floor. There's nobody dominating the ball. And DeRozan, I mean, you know what? They're playing like a team.
Yeah.
And when you got a dominant guy like that, but like I've always said, they were 55-1 before they signed him to the big contract, and they stayed that way. And I said here on this show and on other platforms that was a trouble spot for the Bulls. So hopefully, I don't know what you can do with him, but they're going to have to do something.
Try to trade him again. It's allowed Kobe to kind of blossom with Zach off the floor, I think, a little bit more this year, too.
I almost compare them to the poor man Celtics. They got 2 dominant players, although I love Vuk. I love Kobe White. I see, when you start saying you like other players, okay, that means your team's getting better. When Zach was here, even Kobe White went into a slump when he came back. A bad one.
Hmm.
So and he, after he'd been ticking.
You mentioned Luka earlier. So Luka has a pretty impressive streak going here.
Yes, he does.
He has, in six straight games now, he has a 30-point triple. I'm sorry, it's five straight, excuse me. Five straight games, he's had a 30-point triple-double. He has 13 such games. Yes. This year, if you're wondering how close that is to an all-time record, well, Big O, Oscar Robertson, does hold the single-season record for 30-point triple-doubles. He had 24 of them, Mike, in 1961-62.
Yes,
that's incredible. I don't
he
know that Luka will do
double
that.
Double a game.
It's incredible.
The way that they
But
came
just
out.
The general trend of this league, because the game is played with more possessions now and all the three-point shooting.
And no defense.
And the defense is very different. They're
See,
not allowed
Oscar
to be physical.
Did was phenomenal.
Oh,
Oscar
my God, phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Because you're playing against Chamberlain. You're playing against Russell. You're playing against some big, and they were the Cincinnati Royals, folks.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't like, they were like the Washington Senators. They had nobody outside of Oscar Robertson. And if you look at 1961, I think, or triple-double he ever.
Yeah, it was probably that 62 season, I'm guessing. 61-62. Because he had 24 30-point triple-doubles that year.
And you know what's funny? In the 62 season, you go, that Oscar Robertson's unbelievable. Isn't he, Carm? Yeah. Name me somebody better. Then you say Chamberlain averaged 50 points and 25 points the same year.
That's pretty wild. Isn't that nuts? It's nuts.
Yeah.
2020. So there are already this year in the NBA, we've still got, you know, what, about 5 weeks left in the regular season. There have already been 33 30-point triple-doubles. There were two last night. There were almost three last night. In all of the 2020 season, there were 33. In 2001, there was one, for crying out loud. So the game is right. Definitely played
no,
differently.
It's just
There's
all,
no
it's
doubt.
All the offense now. They're going to maybe put some changes in next year because it's gotten to the point where it's looking like an awesome game. I saw, though, Doncic last night with two guys on him in the corner. Put the ball over his head, shoot the ball, and it goes in. I'm going, how does this guy even?
Oh, that's crazy.
And, I mean, he's shooting from, I mean, there's so much. The shooters are great. Curry did, in a way, just create a generation of great shooters, but he fundamentally created mm-hmm. a generation of poor fundamental basketball players, in my opinion. And look at what Minnesota's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of, there's going to be a wide open. This is a, I can't tell you that the Boston Celtics, if they played Minnesota in the other conference or Denver, I think they'd have trouble against a couple Western Conference teams.
I think they might. Now we got to follow this Karl Anthony Towns knee injury. He had surgery on his knee. They hope to get him back at some point in the playoffs. Ant-Man had a huge game in the
yes,
win on the
did.
Road in Indy last night. But that's a big loss, obviously.
He was late or something the night before.
Yeah, right. He was. He was.
And, you know, but then yesterday, I mean, he comes through. So, I mean, there's just a lot of... The problem is that if you have a 20-point lead back in 1990, the game was over.
Not anymore.
You have a 20-point lead starting the fourth quarter, the game's not over.
Three-point shot. You're right.
Yep.
Bulls play the Clippers Saturday afternoon. Bulls have covered six of the last eight as
and
an underdog.
The Clippers are dwindling a little bit.
Maybe a little. They got
they're
Paul George
as
back.
They were.
Yeah, they're not as hot as they were. You're right. They do have PG back. That helps. They cover the Bulls have covered six of their last eight as an underdog. They're going to be about an 8-9 point underdog in that game on Saturday. They've won five of those games outright, and they've won four straight on the road. We'll see if they can continue that at Staples Center tomorrow afternoon. When we come back, we'll get some ponies from Jim Miller. We'll give you our best play, so don't go anywhere. We still got more to do. It's Mike and Carmen. We're coming right back. We're the Odds Couple presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Mike North and Carmen DeFalco.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN Chicago.
On FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app and ESPN 1000.
Entering the home stretch on this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. It's Mike and Carmen, and it's time to get some expert handicapping from one of the best in the business and our good friend from Hawthorne Racecourse. He's the expert handicapper over there. You follow him on X at Hawthorne Jim, and he joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. It's Jim Miller.
Jimmy!
Boys, live racing at Hawthorne is just around the corner. Of course, prep season is still going on for the Derby. All right, I got two nuggets for you. Do you want the Kentucky Derby-related nugget or the non-Derby-related nugget first?
Let's do the Derby-related nugget.
Okay, guys, the winner that we had last week, Dornock, the winner of the Fountain of Youth.
Love that name.
Think about this. Dornock is a full brother to last year's Kentucky Derby winner, Mage. All right, same sire, same dam, full brother, which is a rarity in racing, and they're following the same path. But second, for a sports tie, this horse is owned in partnership by an ex-MLB player in Jason Wirth.
Wow.
So pretty cool nugget for that horse. Dornock's a legit Derby contender, but there's a lot of ties that this horse could be very good.
What's his, you know, like when we get to the Derby, what are his odds going to look like, Jimmy?
Well, after winning the Fountain of Youth, he's going to go on to the Florida Derby. If he wins the Florida Derby, he'll be one of the top three choices in the Kentucky Derby. And last week it was interesting because he was 5-2 in the morning line, but his presence in the race in the Fountain of Youth scared out four others of that race. That's the reason he went off at such a short price. He could be a very legitimate racehorse.
Interesting. Why didn't Isos get scratched last week?
All right. That's my non-Derby nugget right there for
you.
Let
me guess who's involved.
This is perfect, and we didn't even rehearse this.
No.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Bob Baffert may be playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers. Because Bob Baffert knows that he can't qualify for the Derby because none of his horses are eligible. Here's the thing about the Kentucky Derby, guys. That's the only race where you have to accumulate points from prep races to get into the Derby. Every other three-year-old stake race and the majority of stakes races across the country, the way you move your way up the eligibility ladder is purse earnings in graded stakes races. So we talked last week about the San Felipe Stakes. There were only five horses in the race. Baffert had to put three of them in to make the race go. Well, Nisos is a very good racehorse. Morning of the race, Baffert said, you know what, I'm going to scratch Nisos. I don't really want to run in that race. We're going to run in the Santa Anita Derby in 4 weeks. Well, guess what? In the San Felipe, the other two Baffert horses finished first and second, respectively.
So the purses go up.
He's got three horses, all with purse earnings and graded stakes races. And there's tons of three-year-old races after the Kentucky Derby. Yeah. He's going to have horses eligible for all of these races, and he can make an impact throughout the entire season now.
Wow. All he's missing is a fedora machine gun and a 36-pack with this guy. I'm not kidding.
There's definitely some maneuvering going on.
This guy makes Al Capone look squeaky clean when it comes to horse racing, for God's sake.
But here's the thing, though. He's doing it on the racetrack as well with the horses.
I know.
His two horses finished 1-2 in the San Felipe, and they were well ahead of the other two. But it was time for them to determine, okay, are we going to continue shuffling horses around, or are we going to try to take a stand in what they believe for, right or wrong, but it's the stance that they took. And I'll tell you, he's going to have horses in every major three-year-old race once you get beyond the Derby.
He's a smart guy, smart businessman. Real quick, I watched Godfather 2 the other night, and I want to ask you about Khartoum. Okay, Khartoum was the horse, all right, who was found in Philip Marley's bed, who played Waltz. He says he's going to put him out to stud. Your racehorses nowadays, when you have an Arab horse or a Saudi type of horse, how many of the top racehorses have that kind of blood in them that are owned by Arabian owners and stuff like that now compared to like 40 years ago when it was unheard of, Jimmy, you know?
Oh, it's so much more prevalent now, Mike, and here's the reason why. Racing in places like Dubai and Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Has become huge. The Dubai World Cup is a massive purse. It's a bigger purse than the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mm.
They just had the Saudi Cup a couple of weeks ago. It's millions of dollars, and people chase the money. But we've talked about it time and again, guys. Three-year-old horses that are colts, they don't race deep into their careers because there's so much money in the breeding shed. So you post some good efforts, you win races early on, then get to the breeding shed, breed as much as you can because that's where the money is.
Yeah. All right, where are we wagering this weekend, Jimmy? More stakes races?
All right, so we have one Derby prep, 50-point prep, Tampa Bay Downs. It's the Tampa Bay Derby. We're going to bet the one horse, Heartened, across the board. 10-1 in the morning line, but this horse continues to improve. Then we're going to Santa Anita, race 8. We're going to bet the 2, Adair Manor, across the board. That's the Beholder Mile. This is the first start for this horse since the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Then Oaklawn Park, race 9, but the 4, Comparative, across the board. Game winner last out and should win right back.
All right, so we've got the Tampa Bay, which race was it at Tampa Bay
race
Downs?
Race 11.
Tampa
Bay Derby.
Tampa Bay Downs, the Tampa Bay Derby is race 11. It's the one horse across the board. At Santa Anita, race number 8, the two horse across the board. And then at Oaklawn, race 9, the four horse across the board. Is that right?
That's right, boys.
Beautiful.
Let's make some money.
All right, Jimmy, good luck. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Jimmy!
There he is, Jim Miller, some expert handicapping. All right, let's do some best plays here as we get ready to wrap up and roll into the weekend, Mike.
I just got to say, I know when Lotto jumps on our bed, when somebody jumps in, I don't know how you put a horse's head in the bed without the guy.
Without anybody budging.
I mean, that's been the big question about that whole movie.
It's an unanswerable question.
Absolutely. Great. And but we're not unanswerable. Carm, you go first.
Okay.
You went 2-2 last week. Let's get it done.
All right. I had a loser last week. I'm going to go back to the NBA well, try to get one out west tonight for everybody. The Bucks continue their road trip. They're in California. It's like a four-game California swing. Now, they got smoked in San Francisco by the Warriors. That was their first loss out of the All-Star break, though. Bucks are 6-1 since the break. They won one of those games without Giannis. Giannis is back. He's going to play tonight. LeBron probably won't. He's listed as questionable, but it sounds like with that that ankle that's been bothering him, LeBron might take tonight off. Bucks laying just 1.5 at the Lakers. I'll go ahead and say the Bucks bounce back. They've been playing so much better. They figured out some of the defensive woes. I think the Bucks bounce back and win this bad boy by a field goal, so I'm not worried about it. Bucks minus 1.5 at the Lakers tonight.
I'll tell you what. I mean, LeBron takes more days off than Johnny Carson used to. I mean, I know that the guy, you know, is getting older, but he's built like, I mean, he's
something, I know.
I mean, it's just out of line. I mean, how I mean, the guy's got a gym in his house.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, that doesn't matter. I got one of those unicycle, what do you call them things?
Like
treadmills?
Treadmill.
Yeah. Put my coat on it. That's what I do. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, got a couple golf matches for you, okay? Last week, went 1-1. You don't have to take these if you don't want to, but it's the Arnold Palmer today. I'll be on later on with a basketball pick, a couple basketball picks with Carm and Yurko. I'm going to go Tom Kim, minus 115 over Wyndham Clark.
Okay.
And I'm going to go Brendan Todd, plus 105 over Andrew Putnam.
Okay, there you go.
And those are my two golf picks, 2-3 so far. I can't believe I'm – I mean, it's not easy to pick golf. It isn't. There's no rhyme. There's no system to it. You look at the odds and you figure, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Period.
Yeah. Eric, anything from you?
Eric, it's time for Eric O's betting show.
Do-do-do. All right, so I'm going to go NBA game tonight, Friday night. As we know, Karl Anthony Towns is out for 4 weeks with, I believe, a meniscus that they're gonna clean up.
Meniscus,
wow!
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards was terrific yesterday, but their offense is clunky with him. It's his possessions now. The ball doesn't move like it used to. Back to back games. I'm going to take the Cavs minus one against the Timberwolves tonight.
Cavs at home minus one against the T-Wolves.
Yes.
There you go. All right, beautiful. Thanks to Eric Ostrowski, our executive producer. Thanks to Luke Pergandy and Jim Miller. And thank you, most importantly, for listening as always. Mikey, have a great weekend, buddy. Happy wagering. And we'll talk to everybody again next Friday.
So long, everybody.
This is The Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.